A few months ago, when Armin was taking us through the book of Genesis, he quoted from this book called The Blessing. And it really caught my attention, the quotes that he shared. And I thought, well, I need to get a hold of that and read it and try to understand more about this blessing. So in my research, I found that it's out of print. But down at the bottom of that sheet that you have, I mentioned that you can maybe pick it up at the Born Again Used Bookstore. It's Flint Ridge and Academy, just behind McDonald's over there. It's kind of tucked away. And they had some additional copies, and I have a couple more copies here. If any of you would like to check them out and keep them for a couple of weeks, and because it's really, it's a sort of a textbook. It's not just something you casually sit down and read through and you have it. So it takes some time, it takes some thought, and which I'm still giving to it. What is the blessing? Well, on that sheet there, my wife helped me come up with this. It is an intentional. Now, that's important. This is not a casual surface blessing. Oh, God bless you. Oh, we'll see you tomorrow. The Lord bless you type of thing. This is intentional action that communicates warmth, personal acceptance, affirmation, concern, comfort, connection, a sense of security, and even physical health. Any thoughts come to your mind just quickly what a blessing in depth might accomplish, might do? You haven't had your coffee yet, have you? Any thoughts on that?
Value. It shows value.
Okay. Any other thoughts? Doug?
Continuation, heritage.
Okay. Any others?
I think that verse in Proverbs, it says the words of the righteous man are a fountain of life. And so it's really a form of kind of life giving and affirming. And I think kids really want to trust. And so there's a subtle communication
to trust. Yes. So it's it seems like it's very important and something that I had to look at my own life and do some evaluation. We have four sons and three daughter-in-laws and three granddaughters. So it has really clicked with me as to the importance of the blessing and practicing it with our own children and our grandchildren. So why bless? Well, and not only your children and grandchildren, but also your spouse and friends is important to bless them, to let them know God loves them and we love them, that we support them and stand with them. Nancy and I just returned from Seattle on Wednesday night. We spent about 23 days there. It rained every day. The record was up to 26 days when we were there. Lake Sammamish had risen about 5 feet. So they're getting a little water up there. We could use a little here. But anyhow, the reason we were there, we have two granddaughters, Alexis and Olivia. And their parents went to Guatemala for a missions trip. Now, our son has been down there 8 times, but this was the first time his wife was able to go along. So we volunteered to take care of the girls while they were in Guatemala. And a major part of that was homeschooling. Now, who do you think bore the burden of the homeschooling and the meal preparation and the bedtime stories and so on?
Yay.
Hey. Nancy's got a few things she wants to share. Come on up.
Actually, it was 16 days in Seattle.
Oh, okay.
It just seemed like
seemed
23.
Like 23.
Yeah. Yeah. But we had 11 days. Now, some of you, this is not a biggie, too. You keep your grandchildren often. But this is the first, and I've gone up to keep them before, but never when one of the parents wasn't there. Never when we were fully responsible from the time they got up till the time they went to bed. And so the full responsibility for me involved, as Mel said, meals, homeschooling, driving 2 days a week to a school. They're actually part of a system in the public school system, but it's called the Family Learning Center. And they go into the school twice a week for some courses, and the rest is done at home. The fun things like math, and I couldn't go into high school math if I had to help kids. We had to take Livy to Daisy's. Daisy's is Girl Scouts at the earliest age, and then take Lexi to her Girl Scouts, shopping, and church. Alexis turns 10 in March, and the other one is Olivia's 5, so it gives you an idea of their total absorption of your time. I was up with the girls. They were up before me in the morning. I'm not an early riser. And as soon as they were in bed, I went to bed. It was, you know, it was really tiring. We read and we finished The Boy and His Horse. If you're familiar with the Tales of Narnia, we completed that. I read Bible stories at bedtime. We played games, and they taught me a new card game called golf. And Livy, I think we must have played maybe 65 times that particular. We made crackers together, little animal-shaped crackers for our soup, and we made pumpkin bars and ate out a few times. We cleaned the hamster's cage. We chased 3 buck deer from the backyard. We did laundry. We visited with some friends. We took them to the home of some friends and were delighted with how well-behaved they were. You see them differently at home, of course. We prayed together. We sang together. And in the car, I was singing on the way home from church a song, Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the blessing of thy loving heart. And Alexis, 10, said, I would like to learn that song. And when we got home, she got on Google on the computer and put in Christian lyrics and downloaded Blessed Assurance and about 3 or 4 other hymns that she wants to learn. Isn't it different today? And we did have a prayer of blessing for each girl. And when we were leaving, Alexis is very sensitive, extremely sensitive little girl. She often cries when we leave. And so I told her we weren't going to say goodbye, but we'd use the German, Auf Wiedersehen, till we meet again. And then I said, no, I know something even better that I say a lot, and that is TTFN. Now, if you know Winnie the Pooh, you know that Tigger says TTFN all the time. And what does that say?
Ta-ta for now.
That's right. Ta-ta for now. So that brought a little smile to her face, and that was better because we will. It's not like goodbye. The touching was really important, and I did a lot of appropriate face stroking, hugging. The 5-year-old and I had what we called lap time, where we just snuggled and talked and, you know, together one-on-one. And it reminded me, anytime we talk of the blessing, the priestly blessing in Numbers, that the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. And this is in chapter 6 of Numbers, verses 22 to 26, if you want it later. And that priestly blessing you've all heard. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And that's a nice little model as we put together the type of thing we want to do in blessing our children. And I get to tell just one grandma story. And that was actually when Gary and Kim, and they only had the one little girl, Alexis, and she was 2 years old. And one Sunday morning, they had been living with us, and they were going over some Sunday school things. And at 2 years old, they would say, "Now, who made the sky and all the stars and the sun?" And she would lift her hand and say, "God." And, "Okay, who made the grass and the birds and all those things?" And they would say, she would say, "God," and lift up her hand. And they said, "Well, who loves you even more than Mommy and Daddy do?" And she said, "Grandma."
Hey, whoa, whoa. Well, Nancy must have read my outline. The authors of this book, Gary Smalley and John Trent, through their research and all, they came up with these five elements of a blessing as they researched the scriptures. And number one is meaningful touch. And Nancy has already alluded to that. But I saw this article in ARP magazine. Some of you may get ARP. Maybe, you know, it's for us ancients. But and I thought, well, "Healed by Touch" is the title of the article. Let me just hit on a couple things. Though we seldom talk about it, touch is an essential to our well-being as fresh air or sunshine. Now, that's kind of hard for us Americans to grasp that, because we don't touch very much, do we? Unfortunately, many of us do not get enough of this physical and psychological nutrient, and the deficit tends to get worse as we age. If we are single and do not have children or grandchildren living nearby, we can get weeks, even months, without receiving an affectionate hug. And it goes on to say that this touch reduces stress and, again, communicates concern and comfort and connection. But I thought another interesting thing here was a Purdue University study found that students who were briefly touched on the hand when checking out library books reported more positive attitudes toward life than students who had not been touched. Now get this one. Another story down in Mississippi indicated that waitresses who casually touched their patrons got bigger tips than those who did not. Well, so touch seems to be very important, isn't it? And another thought here is our skin is our largest sense organ, and we ignore it incredibly in this culture. Now, when the lions walked in here a little bit ago, I said, "Hi, Roma," and immediately we hugged. And then her husband, we reached out hands to shake. And I thought, "No, let's just hug him. Let's hug." So we did. And I just wanted to get in more and more into that practice. And as far as touching, Billy Graham's Christmas card shows he and Ruth in this picture, and she has her hand on his arm. Wow. So touching must be essential and important. And I find that coming from a German and Swedish background, very and ultra conservative, that this is something that really takes work and energy for me to do. And I have to think about it and then be brave to do it. So anyhow, so that's a, and then in the Jesus in Mark 10:13 through 16, where he gathered the children to him and he held them and spoke. So that's a good illustration for us. Then the spoken message is another element. They point out in this book that good intentions aside, that good words is essential, that we need to communicate with verbally, providing acceptance and communication with our children, grandchildren, and so on. Thanks. You knew I was getting dry. Thank you, Doc.
She's awesome. I don't know what I'd do without her. I'd be in bad shape. And just on a sidebar here, Nancy is a cancer patient for 18 years. And God has been gracious to me by keeping her. So, where am I now? I'm all, you know. I'm glad this is informal, casual. Anyhow, Nancy referred to praying with the girls, and we were just asking God to bless them and to begin to use their talents, their gifting, their abilities for His glory. And just simply, that was about it. We don't know whether they really caught it or not, but we sure did. And we can continue to do that for them. Then another thing that they say that's an important element in the blessing is attaching high value to the person. And we were talking with our son Gary after we returned home and chatting some, and Nancy made a statement to him, and honey, what was it you said to Gary?
I told him that my time, because he's the one that homeschools, I said I had great, great appreciation for all that he has to do daily, and I didn't think I could do what he's doing.
And you used the word admire, I think.
Oh, yeah. I told him I admired him for being able to do that continually. And we did pray for spouses for the girls, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's really important. So, affirming and it's so important. And this is all so new to me. I'm trying to get handles on it and adapt it and apply it to my own life. Picturing a special future. That was interesting here in the book. He gives the illustration of this mother with twins. And she's out with the double stroller, and she meets a neighbor. And the neighbor's admiring the twin boys in this case. And so the mother says, well, this is Dan, the physician. And this is Bob, the attorney. And so, you know, that's attaching some future. You know, so I thought about our two girls there, and I said, we had a visitor come, so I was going to introduce the girls to this visitor, and I says, well, this is Alexis, the concert pianist and the author. And this is Olivia, the scientist. Again, I don't think the two girls really caught it, but I did. But just trying to plant some seeds, you know, that potential that they might have. And I thought now when they call, which they do, I'd say, oh, this is Alexis, the concert pianist and the author. And just to try to kind of remind them of those little things. So that's the idea of, and this book, they have all kinds of illustrations and actual situations from their own counseling and ministry. So you can get a lot of ideas and thoughts. And the thing, one thing that I've discovered, that there's no formula to plug in the ingredients for the blessing. But each is unique and special because the person is an individual and special and unique. So now, like Ken Krause, he's not here. How many grandchildren do you have now? About
15.
Something like that. 17. Well, that'll take some work and energy and prayer to think through on the special blessings for each of those 17. So And then the fifth ingredient that they bring out is an active commitment. And this really puts the burden on us as grandparents, the responsibility that goes with giving the blessing, of whatever that could mean, financial support for college, just being with them, praying with them, just all sorts of things to be supportive for their life and their future as it goes down the line. So I thought, well, putting into practice these five elements will require a lot of prayer and thinking on our part. The blessing should be an ongoing process for our spouse, children, grandchildren, and close friends. Now, what do you say? Well, they gave several examples of what you say using Scripture, and this is just one of them here. A sample blessing based on Scripture. Oh, Lord, may John always abide in your love. May he dwell in your holy presence. May he walk with integrity and do works of righteousness. May he speak truth in his heart and not slander with his tongue, nor do evil to his friends, nor get revenge on friends. So, and this is based on some verses in Proverbs. So I've discovered that it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of energy to work on this whole idea of the blessings. And if you have a chance, you might think to now, do I have a grandchild or even a child or my spouse? And you might begin to jot down some thoughts of what you might want to do as far as communicating a blessing to them. And there's a little blank spot there. So I would suggest that if you're really interested in this, you pick up, borrow one of these books or go to the Born Again bookstore and purchase a copy. Because it's really involved. It's a textbook, is from my point of view. So it's not casual reading. So I just touched on a couple of things there, but encourage you to start blessing your children, your grandchildren, and your spouse. And my wife has her finger up.
Just one other thing. Oh, our other granddaughter lives in Anchorage, and we will be going up there at the end of February. She called and asked her grandpa if he would baptize her. She just turned 11, and so that will be a significant time to bless.
And I've been thinking about that. Just what are some things I could say to her? So it'll be a very important visit with her, an opportunity to baptize her. So that's a real privilege and a joy to be able to do that. Well, Mary, I'm finished. And would you like to come up and take over?
You're welcome. Well, thanks very much, Mel and Nancy. That is a significant factor in raising our grandchildren, that they sense, they may not call it a blessing, but that they sense a blessing from us, that approval, that almost like a benediction that we can offer to our grandkids. So thanks very much for doing that. Jerry is in an airplane returning from Waco, Texas. We were together in Florida until yesterday. Then he went by Waco to be with a group of handball people. Now I want to make sure you know you're more important than the handball people, but these are some that he's been having a witness with for a good little while, and they've been asking him to come to this special tournament, and he was in the geezer category. So he gives you his special greetings this morning. He's in the air, but he could not figure out how to get here before noon today. So we'll be back again together next Sunday. We thought of trying to have a, and that will be our last Sunday, and we thought of trying to have a brunch, but it's Super Bowl Sunday, and I know you probably have plans with others, or maybe you're going to hide in your closet and commiserate since the Broncos aren't there. But in lieu of that, we're just going to have some coffee, donuts, and juice before, or you can stay afterwards and eat the leftovers. So that will be set up 15 minutes in advance, and if you just want to come and have a little nibble and then speak with your friends and just get acquainted with some new ones, that's great. Somebody mentioned Ken Krause this morning, and Linda, you told me, would you give me that little...
Someone in the room came from YouTube, but the night before last, Ken and Sherry's home was broken into, and perpetrators taped Ken and Sherry both, you know, confined them up.
Anyone have further information? Okay, well, I thought we should just stop and pray for them. How they're going to demonstrate their response to this to all those grandchildren is going to be key. So let me just pray before we go on. Father, we lift up Ken and Sherry to you this morning. What a frightening experience. And yet nothing is out of your control. I pray, Lord, that as they review this and as they continue contact with the police and whatever else is going on, that you would give them a renewed trust and confidence in your protection and your guidance through all the experiences of life. Father, please bring somehow glory to yourself through this. Help Ken and Sherry as they communicate with their children and grandchildren to emphasize the fact that you were present and you were caring for them. Help them, too, as they go through this to see that our lives do not consist in the abundance of the goods we possess, that life and relationship and love and communication with family and with you and with friends is far more important than any of the things that we possess. So we lift them up to you and ask for your care and your special blessing on them today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're just going to share a few things on influencing our grandchildren. Some of these things may sound like review, but we're trying to come at this in a slightly different way to see what the influences will be. Children thrive in environments where they're loved and nurtured. We want to make sure that this is what we're offering to our grandchildren. And they already have many influences. Their parents are their prime influence. And one of the best things we can do is to encourage our children, just as Nancy has done. Yesterday I came back to the airport and went directly to Ellicott. Have you all been out to Ellicott? You have to blink fast or you miss it. It's just out east of town here, to a wrestling match where two of our grandsons are in the wrestling team of the Classical Academy. Now, one on Wednesday had been in another wrestling match and his opponent, the little meanie, slammed him to the mat and gave him a concussion. So he was not wrestling yesterday. Of course, I was ready to jump on an airplane and come straight back from this conference we were in, but not that I could have done any good. But you know how you want to be there when something traumatic is happening. So he didn't wrestle, but the other one did. And he wrestled four times, and I missed the first one, which he lost, and then I got there, and he won the next three. I'm sure it was my presence. But I notice after some of you attend wrestling matches, not this isn't like on TV, you know, those. This is the real thing, and those kids are just so much effort. Well, after they finish, they must shake hands with their opponent, shake hands with their opponent's coach or coaches, and then go shake hands with their own coach. And I noticed that a lot of the boys just kind of, if especially if they lose, they just kind of go, keep their head down. Well, I noticed that our grandson, no credit to me, but held his head up and shook hands and made eye contact. And I said that to his mother. I said, I'm really proud of what Jared has done and the way you've trained him to do this. And then I told Jared that. And he said, yeah, kind of like that. Like, oh, I think I'll do that again. And so to encourage the parents, and it also encouraged me because I slipped into this match in this Ellicott school and went up into the bleachers to sit with my daughter and son-in-law and so on. And Jared wrestled, and he had not known I was there. And then as he came back from his match, he looked up toward the family, and he saw me, and he ran right up in the stands and gave me a hug. Now, that's pretty good for a 16-year-old in front of all his friends. Okay, enough bragging on my friend. So you, and to listen as our children interact with their children to see if there's some influence we might have, either commendation or perhaps a soft suggestion that they might change the way they interact. And of course their peers are an influence in their lives. And they want to be, the older they get, the more they want to be with peers rather than with family or with grandparents. But it's helpful to know who their friends are. If you're taking your grandchild to lunch, invite a friend to go along and then watch their interaction. Yesterday it was so interesting to me to watch these boys interact with one another, and I know how close they get as a team. So to watch how they were communicating and acting toward one another, and this was long, it went all day from 9 in the morning, of course I wasn't there, but till 6 at night. So they have a lot of time, and so do the parents and grandparents, to watch what's going on in that team environment. Just saying something to the little ones. Who do you have fun with these days? Who do you play with? What do you like about that? So that we have some understanding of what they're like. And when we see them with their peers, to watch their faces, to observe their posture, to see if they're accepted in groups. You can do this if you visit their classrooms or go to their sports or go to their music programs and so on. And then media, of course, is very, very heavy influence on their lives. And we can't control what goes on in their own homes, but we can what goes on in our homes as far as media is concerned. The schools, now your grandchildren are homeschooled. And how many of you have homeschooled grandchildren? Some. But most of our grandchildren are either in a Christian school environment, in a public school, private, whatever. And they spend a big chunk of their day there. Whenever you have an opportunity as a grandparent, participate. Be at all of these little events. Meet their teachers. Meet their coaches. Yesterday, my sister and I, you'll hear from her in a minute, my sister and I were at this match, and the coach, kind of in between, I don't know how they arrange all this, but anyway, he sort of came up in the bleachers, and he was sitting near to us, and he kind of looked around, and he said, "Thanks for being here." And we looked at him and said, "Thanks for all you're doing for our kids." And he just broke into a broad smile. I'm sure more often than not, they receive negative input. Parents come around when things are going wrong. So if we can offer a bit of encouragement to help those who are helping our grandkids. And I want to say the same thing about church. How many of you have grandchildren in this church? Quite a few of you. Let's offer a word of appreciation to the Sunday school teachers. Let's send a note to the youth pastors. How many of you aspire to be a youth leader in junior high? The brave soul. They put out so much time and effort and just their heart love for these kids. Let's give them some support and some encouragement. And if they hear, "Oh, let's see, that parent or grandparent spoke about their kids, I think I'll take a little extra look at the child." What they are doing is key. Many of you came to Christ or grew in your faith during those years. And it's these people, or even somebody like Boy Scout leaders, Girl Scout leaders, who labor on for years sometimes without specific appreciation and commendation. So we can do that for them. And then extended family, aunts, uncles, cousins, that we encourage people to get involved with our grandkids. I asked my sister to come today, Ruth Knutson, and Ruth has been maybe sometimes more of a parent and grandparent than those of us who have the kids and grandkids. In our family, I have two brothers and two sisters, and Ruth has been very significant in the lives of all of our kids and grandkids and has taken this on as a ministry. Ruth is single, and she spent 60 years with in Africa with the Navigators, because we missed her a lot. But before she went and since she's been home, she has really done a lot with the children and grandchildren. And I asked her if she would come and share. Now, I will explain Ruth's voice. Ruth has something called, let me get it, Ruth.
It starts with an S.
Spasmodic dystonia, which is in the vocal cords. And her voice is soft and slow, but everything she says is worth hearing. Now, the treatment for this is injections of Botox directly into the voice box. And she has recently had her Botox, and until it really takes hold, her voice is a little softer than usual. Now, she has often said she wouldn't mind if they just elevated those injections. But just listen carefully, and we'll put the mic up close.
Okay.
She's my baby sister.
Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
Or
just somewhere here. Here this way. Ruthie has her doctorate in cross-cultural communications, and so we like to call her Dr. Ruth.
That Dr. Ruth and I are in very different fields.
Oh, mercy. What is this?
Oh, please hold that for a minute. We'll get to it quickly. But if you back up, I appreciate that. Thanks, Mary, for the explanation. I did have this Botox injection about 2.5 weeks ago. I want you to know I have the most beautiful, unwrinkled, youthful vocal cords in the world. Did you read Gary Berry's column a few months ago, the 15 things that it took me over 50 years to learn? They're great. Never, under any circumstances, take a sleeping pill and a laxative on the same night. It's profound. There is a very fine line between hobby and mental illness. You should not confuse your career with your life. That's too true to be funny. Never lick a steak knife. There comes a time when you should stop expecting other people to make a big deal about your birthday. And that time is age 11. Well, it's taken me more than 50 years to keep learning in more depth that there are few things that bring greater joy and fulfillment than loving children, being loved by them, and being used of God to influence them. Enormous privilege. I don't have a neat handout this morning. I'm just going to tell a few stories. But I do have in the Colorado Springs and Denver areas 2 married sisters, 4 married nieces and nephews, 13 great nieces and nephews. What a huge opportunity to give and receive love. God has not chosen to give me a husband or children or grandchildren of my own, but the love is deep with the extended family. I don't replace the parents or grandparents, but I reinforce and augment the godly teaching and influence that they're giving. In this age of such dysfunctional families, the children deserve and need all the godly input they can possibly get. What a privilege to be part of that circle. I started listing the other day just a few benefits that I have received in being a great aunt. And most of the benefits were similar for the children. For instance, fulfillment in passing on a legacy and an identity in the family. As I pass on a spiritual and family legacy, it's reinforcing to me what a privilege to be part of a secure family circle. It's doing the same thing for the kids. You've probably memorized Psalm 145, verse 4. One generation shall commend your works to another. They will speak of your mighty acts. It doesn't say just the parents and grandparents and the youth pastors. will speak of your mighty acts. One generation. Well, I'm the grandparent generation. I have the huge privilege of being part of that. Gives increased identity security to all of us. Then I appreciate family history as the kids do, as I tell them stories from a different perspective, perhaps, than their parents and grandparents would tell them. Now, Ron, if we could have this picture. Some of Jerry and Mary's grandchildren are almost the age that they were when they graduated from high school. Don't you like Jerry's tie, especially? Let's go to the next one. This one, I just couldn't resist this opportunity, Mary. This old car named Ebenezer, God is our help. Jerry was driving when they were engaged. And even when you got married, yeah, they started off on a great foot. Now, if she showed this, or Jerry did, to their grandchildren, they would not point out the piles in the back seat. Those piles were the contents of Jerry's drawers in his dorm room at the University of Washington. Mary's things were neatly packed in a box. Then they stopped at his dorm on their way home from the summer. He ran in, got one door drawer dumped in the backseat, but had another. Don't tell him I told you. We can give. Let's see the next one. We give different perspectives. The polyester pairs. And the next one. There's only two more. It gets better. Let's go to the next one. I especially want you to notice the Catwoman glasses. I had similar ones. But the last one shows things have really improved. They have gotten much better. This was about a year ago at Jerry's appreciation dinner. Four of their grandchildren were missing from that picture. But they definitely have improved. Thanks very much, Ron. That's enough. We've all improved, haven't we? We're getting better, not older. Well, I mentioned her Catwoman glasses. But there, another huge benefit to me has been just in giving and receiving love. And the kids enjoy that as well. Paul Tournier's famous quote said, "It's impossible to overestimate every person's immense need to be loved, listened to, and understood." We have one 7-year-old local granddaughter, great niece, who is very extroverted. She's never had an unspoken thought in her life. And she needs all the listeners she can get. We share that privilege together. There's another benefit for me, learning about youth culture. What a steep learning curve these days. One more benefit for the younger generation is that we can give them stability, continuity in the hard times, the difficult times. A brief story that some of you know, our nephew Danny Ortley, son of our other sister in Denver, almost 4 years ago lost his 30-year-old wife. Heart attack, very unexpected. She left a 4-year-old daughter, a 1.5-year-old son. Our Denver sister is married to a pastor. Their weekends are very full. So they helped Danny until he remarried 2 years later, as much as they could during the week. But I had the availability as a single person to spend most weekends with Danny and the children. And that was an incredible learning experience for me. Never thought I was impatient till I spent that much time with small children. But as an example, I want to read as an example of the heart connection, the influence with children, a poem that I wrote for Gracie just the week before her father remarried. Now they have a wonderful godly mother and little baby sister. Gracie often wanted me to sleep with her. And so this poem is called, "Tonight I Watched You Sleeping. Your pillow was wet with shampooed hair. Mine was wet with tears. Tears of grief at your heart-wrenching valley of the last 2 years. Tears of awe at your God-given beauty, so like your mother's. I had taught her mother in first grade here at CSCS before I went to Kenya. Talk about family legacy. What a privilege. Tears of sadness, anticipating how much I'll miss you on weekends. Tears of incredible joy for the love and stability your godly new mommy will bring. Tears of gratefulness for all I've learned through you and Jack. Mostly tears of thanks for the godly girl you're becoming. Tonight I watched you sleeping. Tomorrow I'll watch you growing. I love you, Gracie, Grandma Ruby." The joy of working together as a family unit, bearing one another's burdens, underlining the biblical teaching that the children are getting, is a great privilege. Well, you have many thousands of ideas of things you've creatively done with your kids and grandkids. I want to mention just a few that I've enjoyed recently, and then I'll give it back to Mary. I've mentioned old picture albums of the family. They're priceless. Books, one of the most profound things we can do. I wonder if you're familiar with hero tales. This generation so desperately needs godly, wholesome role models. Dave and Nita Jackson have written a whole series about Christian heroes, more than 40 books in the Trailblazers series, available at any bookstore. This is a compilation of some of those heroes. Hero Tales, a family treasury of true stories from the lives of Christian heroes. Nita was my college roommate my first year. I'm not getting any commission from her, but they have won many awards. Great book. Sleepovers are priceless. But when we have sleepovers at my house, we try to do educational things like you do, I'm sure. Even at meal times, the placemats you can pick up at Walmart for 99 cents are phenomenal for the younger ones. Of course, they're learning the alphabet. But even the older ones who are learning state capitals and the names of the states and the list of all the presidents, and we'll have stories like, see if you can find the fattest president we ever had. He weighed over 300 pounds, and it took six security men to get him out of the bathtub when he got stuck. You know, learn. Anybody know who it was? Wasn't Taft fatter? They were both about 300, but Taft got stuck in the bathtub. Cleveland probably had a bigger bathtub. Passing on skills. We have more fun at piano lessons at my house. The kids are doing very well. You men probably teach fishing, carpentry, all kinds of skills. It's so bonding. I have a friend in Alaska. A couple weeks ago sent me her little personal CD. It's not professionally published. Piano for the grandkids. She has 36 children and grandchildren. Actually 35. And then she composed a 36th song, Here's to Those Who Will Join, in case she has more. So she has composed a song for every grandchild and great-grandchild. Songs like Going with Gabe, Jelly Beans for Joel, A Kiss for Karis, Selena's Serenade, etc. Whatever skills God's given us can be great avenues for connecting with kids. 2 months ago, all three generations of the women in our family had a tea party with my grandmother's Haviland china that had just been sent to me by a cousin. What a treat. The girls still talk about it. When Audrey comes for piano lessons, her first word in the door, may I have my punch in Grandma's Haviland teacups? Stories about highlights and lowlights of my walk with God. They really listen, especially when they ask, why don't you have a husband? Is God going to give you a husband? What was it like in Kenya? Do you get lonely? Wide open opportunities to keep telling, just in a natural, authentic way about our walk with God. Last thing I want to mention, some of you may not have extended family close by. There can be so many other substitute aunts and uncles. The 16 years I spent in Kenya, I was auntie to several missionary families. The children I loved like my own nieces and nephews, the Traineers and the Nygaards, for those of you who know them. I benefited far more than they did from that auntie, niece, and nephew relationship. We can proactively recruit others around us to be substitute great aunts and uncles. Children will sense the love, even if the blood connection is not there. Helen Keller said, the best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart. And kids are profound at feeling our love with their hearts. Mary?
Ruth, if Linda and I adopt you.
Of course.
Okay, do any of you have a question for Ruth?
Want to know my Botox stopped?
No questions. Do some of you have family that come alongside like Ruth has done for our family? She's one of the favorites in our extended grouping. We're going to just, it's almost time to stop. Jerry isn't here, so we'll be, no, this is good timing. We have kind of a collage of people sharing today. But I just want to share a couple more thoughts and ideas, and I think we'll even skip the last section because it's all written out for you in your outline. But the ways that we can influence. I'm not sure we have talked too much about prayer, but some of you may have situations where you can do nothing but pray, that things maybe are difficult in the family relationships, or the grandchildren have split and gone somewhere else, or there's been a divorce and you don't have any contact. As we went into Florida for this conference, Jerry and I had dinner on the first evening we were there with a lady named Mrs. Dichter. And Jerry knows her son from Air Force times. Her son is now a two-star, and they had worked together and so on. And he has come to Christ. The mother is a very committed Jewish lady. And one of her sons married and had a son and divorced when that son was 5 years old. She has not seen him since. Jerry and I have prayed that somehow she would have an opportunity to see him. And one of the first things she said was, "Jerry, your prayers aren't working," because he's now 19 and she still hasn't seen him. Well, it's that kind of thing. And by the way, she still hasn't responded to the Lord. She said, "You know, from my background, it almost feels sinful to say the name Jesus." So she has a way to go, but she's reading the Bible, and this is a little far afield, but she is a grandmother with a hurting heart, and all she can do is pray in the best way she knows how, and sometimes that's the only influence we have. Sometimes that's hard for choleric people who want to fix everything, and their first intention, and maybe this is true for most of us, is to figure out what we can do instead of thinking, well, the best thing we can do is bend the knee and bring this to God, because He is the one who is going to bless and care for our grandchildren. And then, do we really live like Jesus in front of these grandkids? You know, there's a passage in Colossians 3 that says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another. Forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And above all, put on love." Well, do our grandchildren see us in this light? Are these the kind of people? Or do they hear us gossip? Or do they see us being impatient on the road if they're riding with us? Or do they sense a gentleness from us that maybe they aren't getting in the world they live in? And are we always courteous to them and to others? Or do we really take note of people? We went out to dinner the other night with this conference group, and there were about 7 or 8 of us at the table where I was seated, and the waitress came around and she said, "I'm so-and-so," and went through the spiel on the specials and so on. And then she said to us, "Now, what's my name?" Now, one of us at the table remembered her name. Well, you know, are we really giving importance to other people? And do our grandchildren see that? Her name was Andrea, or she said, "You can call me Andy." and I'll probably remember it for the rest of my life, but it was really good lesson. I'm glad my grandchildren weren't there. And then to just listen to our kids, grandkids with love. Just Nancy was saying she didn't think she was, no, you said it, Ruth, impatient. Yeah, you were totally patient. It's only in our grouping world. But to just listen when they go over and over things, being patient enough to hear them, and then pick out those little things that are really significant that we can latch onto and make a difference in their lives. And we have talked about it before, but to give them the gift of our time, to maybe give up something else in our lives in order to incorporate them, especially when they have a time of need. So we'll call it good for today, and I hope this has been helpful for you, that you will think of ways to bless and ways to incorporate someone other than yourself, as Ruth has done for our family, and to give these grandchildren as broad a sphere of love and support as we can. Let's just pray as we bring it to a close. And by the way, there are handouts from the past times, and just help yourself, whatever on the back table might be useful to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the things we've learned today. Thank you for your presence among us and how we thank you for these children and grandchildren that you brought into our lives. Lord, might we continue to learn for the rest of our lives how to relate, how to encourage, to support, to demonstrate a Christ-likeness before them that will go on for generations to come. And again, we lift up Ken and Sherry and ask that you would be with them today and watch over them. And we'll look forward to the next time you bring us together. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.